Vayde Terem Manshta Yud Ches of Tovshin Ein Pei Tovshin Ein Tes Reb David Slade.
Good morning. There is one bracha that we make that is from the Torah. According to all opinions, there is one bracha that is min haTorah, midiraisa, and that is the bracha that we make after eating bread, birchas hamazon. It appears this week. Even birchas haTorah, there's a manda omar that says it's midirabbanan. The one and only bracha that's min haTorah is birchas hamazon. It appears this week. Now, the Gemara says that there was a Tana called Shimon HaAmsuni who made it his speciality to darshan every single S that appears in the Torah. The Gemara relates that he encountered difficulties with some of the S's and he abandoned them until Rabbi Akiva came. But in the meantime, he was quite happy to darshan the S's, and even the ones he had difficulties with, Rabbi Akiva later on came and helped him out of his sticky situation and found the correct drosha to apply to the S. However, the Gemara does not tell us, in almost all the cases, what the droshas were. Right? So that has left the field open for generations of commentators to speculate as to which, what extra information is included every time the word S appears in with regard to a mitzvah or to an inyan or to whatever it is. In this week's parsha, by Birchas Hamazon, the wording of the Torah is V'achalta v'savarta birachta S Hashem Elokecha. So the question becomes, what does this S come to include? What extra information is there over here that's not immediately apparent? That's the question. A second question is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says a person who's drunk, completely a little bit over the top, shall we say tipsy, should not daven Shemon Esrei. Right, that's what it says. And you should lechatchila, he has to wait to sober up, he has to do something, go to sleep, go for a walk. And we understand why that should be. That's a very logical, reasonable thing to say. If you have an audience with Queen Elizabeth in Buckingham Palace, she sent you an invitation, please turn, honour me by turning up at my garden party. You're not going to turn up at her garden party in a state of intoxication. That is not covered for the Malchus. So it makes perfect sense that when you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei HaMelachim, the King of Kings, also it's not appropriate to turn up there in a state of intoxication. That makes perfect sense. However, the surprising thing is, the Halacha says, if you are inebriated, even lechatchila, you can bench. Now, I'm not telling you it's a mitzvah to get shikha in order to bench. That's not the point. The point is the basic halacha, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're drunk, you can bench. You don't even need to sober up. Don't need to lie down, eat peppers, whatever these people do to get rid of the intoxication. Go ahead and bench. Now, this is rather difficult to understand, because tefillah is derabbanan. Birchas hamazon, l'chol hadeyos, is deraisa. Why should it be that for a derabbanan, l'chatchila, I'm not allowed to daven in front of the King of Kings, because it's not seemly, not appropriate, that when I'm in a state of intoxication, I should... Whereas, But whereas for Birchas Hamazon, which is a deraisa, I'm allowed l'chatchila, go ahead, don't worry about it, take it easy, let it all, do whatever comes naturally, etc., etc. Sounds a bit strange, no? Okay. So these are the two questions which Bezat Hashem I hope to deal with now. We're going to go, Bezat Hashem, on a bit of an excursion. We're going to have a day trip, hopefully, through the Birchas Hamazon. And at the end, Bezat Hashem, hopefully, will arrive at an answers to these two questions. Benching, l'chatchila. L'chatchila, kavana, yeah. Like Shmuel Eshvei, you need chatchila, you need kavana. Yeah, but was tutsach zo, you know, like it's in ganzen nicht zu verstehen. Okay, fine. So these are the two questions, and now we're going to put these two questions on one side for the time being. We're going to go off now and look at the Birchas Hamazon itself, and hopefully through investigating was nigdo to whatever degree, we're going to arrive at the end to an answer to these two questions. So the Gemara says that there are four brachas in Birchas Hamazon. The first one is Hazanis HaKol, Birchas Hazan. The Gemara says that this bracha of the first bracha of Birchas Hamazon, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted it. So the Gemara says, the Moshe Rabbeinu was one that established to the nusach of this bracha. Now, what were they eating in the Midbar? Man. Now, I don't know if you had breakfast before you came here this morning, but if you did you eat man? Unlikely. But I'm sure that everyone here who had bread did bench. So there's an inconsistency over here. Moshe Rabbeinu established the bracha over man, over the manna. And we're using the same bracha for bread that grows out of the ground. There seems to be a sort of not exact an inconsistency. What? They did, but the Ikka sustenance was the man. Ikka that was amazing. And they had water, sure, you know, there's a midrash, they had vegetables growing. Yeah, you could the man could taste like anything it wanted, etc. But the bracha itself was established over something that descends from on high, not from something that grows from below. So it seems to be there's a certain something inappropriate over here. Yeah, we have learned from Lechem Mishnah. But still, Lechem Min HaShemayim. How does the nusach that Moshe Rabbeinu established for that generation, for what they were eating, in which way can it be said it is applicable to us? We have different food. Excuse me. It was. But okay. The concept. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu established it, and he was talking about his man, his generation, right? I'm sure, look, any question I raise now, there are 10 billion answers, okay? So please indulge me and allow me to present the answer that I came up with, or the answer I found, whatever, yeah, fine. On we go. So, now, in order to suggest one of the 10 billion answers to this question is as follows. There seems to be a contradiction in Psukim. On the one hand, every single day of the year, three times a day, and sometimes more than three times a day during Slichus, we say the following pasuk. It's here in Ashrei. In Ashrei it says, Einei chal elecha yisaberu. The eyes of all people look towards you, Hashem, for their sustenance. You give them their food. That's what it says. Everyone is looking towards Hashem for his food. On the other hand, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, a very famous Pasuk that lots of people like dancing to at Chasnas, Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach B'Hashem Baya Hashem Yivtacho. Blessed be the man who trusts in Hashem. And a few psukim later, Yirmiyahu says, Oror hagever ashivtach ba'odam. Cursed is the man who trusts in men. So you've got a contradiction. On the one hand, you're telling me Everyone's looking towards Hashem. Everyone's looking towards Hashem. On the other hand, you're telling me there are certain people that do look and there are certain people that do not look. You can't give, if I say Baruch HaGever Shiyivtach B'Hashem, I'm giving a bracha to the man that looks towards Hashem. That's what I'm giving a bracha to. Implying you've got a choice. Implying he deserves bracha because he could have looked away. Like it says a few psukim later, Oror Hagevash Yiftach Ba'adam. He could have looked away. He gets an Oror. But how does that fit in with this posuk in Ashrei? Eine chal Eilecha Yisaberu. All people look towards you. There seems to be some sort of contradiction here. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no. Well, yeah. But we'll get there. Yeah. We say that in Bichas Mosin as well. Yeah, yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. So that's the contradiction. On the one hand, it seems everyone's looking towards Hashem. On the other hand, some people are, some people aren't. If you do look, you get a bracha. You don't look, you get a klala. Yeah. So there seems to be a contradiction between the psukim. So the answer, one answer at least, is as follows. Deep down, everyone knows that they are dependent on the goodwill of Hashem. Deep down, in the heart of hearts. You know, what they say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Yeah? That's an expression. Yeah, the guy's being wheeled out to surgery, he's thinking about God, okay? Because he knows, you know, that's it, you know, I've got no one else to rely on. But in the course of everyday life, this awareness of Hashem gets smothered. So deep down, it's true. Eine chal elecha yisaberu. Everyone is looking to you. Everyone is hoping towards you. But in the course of everyday life, everyday activities, when people are healthy and people are functioning normally, then people have free will. People can choose to acknowledge the role of Hashem in their hand, in their lives, or choose to ignore the role of Hashem in their lives. According to the degree of acknowledgement or lack of acknowledgement, that's when you get the Baruch HaGever, Ashiyivtach Hashem, or that's where the Oror comes. Are you going to allow yourself to be smothered by this thick coating of materialistic gashmias, three-dimensional sense around that you have with your senses that assail you all the time? Is that going to block out the awareness of Hashem? Or are you going to see through the barrier of coarse materialism to the divine hand that's guiding everything behind the scenes? That's the resolution. If so, we now know why the same nusach that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted on the man should apply to our bread. It's coming to hint to us, you should realize that your everyday bread that started its life somewhere on the great plains of Ohio, that some Schwarzer activated a combine harvester and brought the bread in today, and it came to the shops, you bought it from Halpern's. You should know, this same bread is every bit as miraculous as the man. Every bit as miraculous, yeah? But your job is to see through the materialistic covering, the concealment, to see through the hester upon him, to see through the materialist overlay to the divine hand behind the scenes that's guiding everything, making everything happen. That's why the same bracha that applied to the man applies to our everyday bread. It's to hint to us for all generations, your bread is no less miraculous than the man. That's the first bracha. Now we're going to move on to the second bracha of the Birchas HaMazon. The second bracha is about the land. Thank you Hashem for giving us the land of Israel. And that, the Gemara says, was instituted by Yehoshua. Now, if you have a look at what's actually written in that bracha, it says, thank you for the good land you gave us. Now, this seems to be a little bit surprising. shouldn't we be thanking Hashem for the food? Why are we thanking Hashem for the land? The land is like, it's, you're putting the emphasis in the wrong place. You should be saying thank you for the food, not for the land. So and the Pasuk itself says, thank you for the good land. But one second, we're talking about after you've eaten. Why didn't the Pasuk say, thank him for the food you've eaten? Okay, but it's true, and we're going to get there. B'shat Hashem, we're going to get there. But the main emphasis, you're right, the main emphasis is the land. Right? You're right, of course, please bear with me. You'll hear 24 seconds, you'll hear exactly. But the main emphasis, the thrust of this pasuk, of this paragraph is the land. And it's called Birchas Haaretz. It's called Birchas Haaretz, that's the land. Oh, I see you're all ahead of me, which is wonderful. Thank you. Right. So now, as everyone has really pointed out over here, but just to refine the question a bit more, just to narrow it down a bit more, the shitta of Rashi is somewhat surprising. Rashi's shitta is that an individual who is benching begins his benching with no delacha. He omits completely the first bracha. That's Rashi. Rashi says you only ever say the first bracha birchas hamazon if you've got a zimun. Without a zimun, that's what Rashi says. I'm not saying halacha, that's what Rashi says. Yeah? So you only ever say, but otherwise, your personal benching, you just start from no delacha. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos there says, hang on Rashi, there's something wrong over here. Right? You missed out the main point. You miss out the main point. You have to say thank you for the food. How can you say the individual should miss out the first bracha of birchas hamazon? That's Tosfos' question on Rashi. The Pnei Yeshua answers what all these gentlemen over here answer. The Pnei Yeshua answers. Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. In Brochas. Hang on, I'll give it to you. Just give me 10 seconds. I wrote it down. Okay, look, I don't want to keep people waiting. Do you mind if I just say Baal Peh? Afterwards, B'li Neda, I'll give you the Maram Kemes. Tosfos asks a Kashya from Rashi, how can you, Rashi, say, ignore the first bracha? The first bracha is what Moshe Rabbeinu instituted. It's Mitzvah, you've got to say thank you for the food. How can you just ignore it, omit it, yeah, make it as if it doesn't exist? That's Tosfos Kashya. So the B'li Yeshua there answers what the gentleman over here on the right answered. Mecham Pnei Yeshua says, no, it doesn't matter, because in the second bracha itself, it mentions mazon. It says, ala aris v'la mazon. And that's enough, says the Pnei Yeshua. That's enough. If you mention, somehow or other, you're smuggling in a mention of mazon, and that's good enough to express your gratitude, min ha-Torah, for the food you've been given. There's a problem with this. Why is it enough? Why do you have to smuggle it in? It's true you mentioned alamazon. It's true you mentioned them. But why are you doing it like kala'achayad? You're doing it roundabout. That should be the main emphasis. That should be what we're talking about. I put food in my mouth. I say thank you for giving me the food in my mouth. Why am I going circumventing, circuitous old thing, yeah? Like something completely different, talking about the land. And by the way, we'll smuggle in a mention of the food as well. You're missing the point. So the Gemara also says on that bracha that we finish off the bracha of Birchas Haaretz, ala aretz v'ala mazon, on the land and on the food. So the Gemara, I think it's Mem Zayin, I'll give you the Marakans later on. The Gemara says we have a principle. When it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we do not end off a bracha with two different concepts. Right? We don't want to start saying thank you Hashem for building Yerushalayim and also for the lightning. You wouldn't do that. You would two completely different concepts. You never end off. You never put the same. The bracha is intended to be a specific praise for a specific inyan. If you're ending off, you don't put two different inyonim together in one bracha. That's the rule. So the Gemara says, but you see, in Birchas Hazan, that's exactly what we do. In Birchas Hazan, Birchas Haaretz, we say, ala aretz v'la mazon. So it's two different things. You're thanking for the land, you're thanking for the food. So two different things. So the Gemara asks the Kasha. So the Gemara answers the Kasha and says, No, there's no kasher at all. Because, as the gentleman over here said, Mr. Mankov said, the whole purpose of the land is the food. Eretz Mafka Mazon. The whole purpose of the land. It's not the land. We've come to Eretz Yisrael in order to sunbathe. No, you're missing the point. No, that's not why the land was given, right? Part of the reason the land was given was in order to provide food. This is a special kind of food. If we get time, we'll go into that as well. Bli Neder. But there's a special kind of food that grows in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the purpose of the Eretz Mafka Mazon. So once you know that, then you understand Rashi Shitta, you understand why the Psukim emphasize the land, you understand why we seem to be focusing on the wrong point, because we're not really focusing on the wrong point. If you're talking about the land, and the whole purpose of the land is to provide the food, then thanking for the land is thanking for the food. It's all the same thing. That's why Rashi says it's perfectly okay to be yotzi on your chiyuv to say thank you for the food by thank you for the land, because the whole point of the land is the food. That explains. I cannot tell you the lomdus of it. I'm just telling you voshtet. Voshtet is Rashi says hazonas elam yochid does not say. That's okay. Voshtet. I mean, it's not the halacha, but okay. Fine. Anyway, okay, fine. Now. Okay, after that long explanation as to why we're talking about land when we should be talking about food, and the answer is, well, it's all the same thing, because the land purpose, the main purpose of the land is the food, etc. Okay, fine. We've still got a similar problem we had with Birchas Hazan. A similar problem. So the point of the second bracha is I'm saying thank you, Hashem, for the land. Yeah. And thank you for the meaning the food that comes from the land. But when I bought my flour from Halpern's, that flour came from Canada. It didn't come from the land. So why am I thanking Hashem for the land? It's a similar problem as we had. The Albrocha was on the man. And I'm saying, but my food is not man. Now we've got a similar problem in the next Brocha. But we're thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, but my food is not from Eretz Yisrael. My food is from Ohio, the Great Plains of Ohio. Someone got in a combine harvester and processed it and sent it to the silo, and they had these huge big silos there, 100-gallon things, and it had to be processed, and it had to be brought over to England, etc., etc., etc. Nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, zero. Why am I thanking for Eretz Yisrael? So for this, we turn to a Rashi over here, and I think it's the Groh who says this actually, but it's in Rashi, the Groh says it, but it's actually in Rashi, and you want the Maramakomas. The Maramakom is, it's in Perek Yud Beis, and it's Posuk Yud Aleph, Devarim, this week's Parsha, and Rashi says, so with the description of Eretz Yisrael is like this in the Posuk. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osar Tamid. Hashem is always seeking the welfare of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. So Rashi over here says, what does it mean Hashem is always looking for the welfare of Eretz Yisrael? Rashi says, Hashem provides sustenance for all the lands. He lets the apples grow in Czechoslovakia. He lets the wallabies grow in Tasmania. He lets the kiwis grow in New Zealand. He lets the etc., etc. So why are you singling out that Hashem looks after Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi says, Kevayachal eino doresh ela osar. Hashem really only cares and looks after Eretz Yisrael. Va'al yedei osa drisha, through that care, supervision of Eretz Yisrael, shadosh doresh es kol ha'aretz ima. All the other lands get their bracha through that. So the Gra says, what it means, what Rashi means to say is that there's like a pipeline, and it's pumping fuel, and the pipeline of blessing and abundance and material plenty and food goes through Eretz Yisrael, and then it gets siphoned off to all everywhere else in the world, each one according to its needs. But it's through Eretz Yisrael, the bracha comes to all the world. So when I'm saying thank you for my bread that I got from Halpern's, actually it's totally appropriate to thank for Eretz Yisrael, because the ultimate source is Eretz Yisrael. So now we have here, we can detect a common denominator, a running theme. The first bracha, Birchas Hazan, told us, your bread that you get from Halpern's is every bit as miraculous as the man. Okay, you don't see it, but that's your job. You have to see through the materialistic covering. And you know what? The bread you get is also through Eretz Yisrael. You don't see that either. You don't see that, because you think it comes from Ohio. But the point is that your job is to see through the apparent barrier of materialism that this world throws up, to see through and to see the immaterial source of where your plenty and your abundance really originates. And that's from Eretz Yisrael. So you see there's already now a parallel between the first two brachas. Let's go on to the third bracha. The third bracha of Birchas Hamazon is about Binyan Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara says that David and Shlomo instituted that bracha. And the Rishonim say that before, David HaMelech didn't yet build the Beis HaMikdash. So before he built the Beis HaMikdash, the bracha that they used to say in the third bracha of Birchas Hamazon is, please Hashem, let there be a Beis HaMikdash, let there be Yerushalayim, let there be all these things. When the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim existed in their glory, the bracha would be, Hashem, please keep it this way. And after the Chorban, like nowadays, we say, please Hashem, restore it to what it once was. Okay? There's a certain flexibility in that bracha. Okay. But now, if you look in the Psukim, once again, you see something a bit strange. And you'll see it's all the same idea. The Psukim also say this, right? Every single day of the year, hopefully, we say this every single day. Wake up on time, get to Shacharis. So the Psukim and Psukim de Zimra say, Shabbachi Yerushalayim es Hashem, Jerusalem praise Hashem, Halali Elokayach Tzion, Zion praise Hashem. Why? Says the Psukim. Ki chizak b'richei she'arayach. Because he, Hashem, has strengthened the bolts of your doorways. Right? He has, through the fortifications around Yerushalayim, Hashem has made them strong. That's what it says in the Psukim over here. Ki chizak b'richesha, he has strengthened it. Yeah? Now, once again, this presents a problem. Hashem strengthened the fortifications? David HaMelech did it! Shlomo did it! Shlomo HaMelech got, if you read the story, he got 30,000 workers from Sidon, he got 100,000 cedars of Lebanon cut down. He had these mass building projects. Yeah, you go now and you see these high-rise buildings going up in all over Manchester. That's nothing compared to what Shlomo HaMelech did. He had this mass building campaign. He didn't even need matching because he had enough money by himself to do it. Yeah, he got from all the neighboring countries, sent their engineers, their artisans, their craftsmen, in order to construct the Beis HaMikdash, in order to build Yerushalayim. Shlomo HaMelech did it. David HaMelech did it. So what does a posuk mean when it says Hashem did it? Yeah, it's over here. It's in Psukim de Zimra, Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin. Right, about halfway through. Hashem strengthened the fortification. The answer is exactly the same as we've been saying before. You have to see through the covering of materialism. It looks like it's human beings doing it. It looks like it's the king. No. Kuf Mem Zayin. Yeah, same idea. Yeah, same idea. The point is, the idea is you have to see through. It looks like the king, it looks like this one, it looks like his plotting, his engineering skills, his architectural design. It's Hashem. You have to see beyond beyond what what you see with your five senses, and to accept the immaterial cause of everything that happens in this world. That's the third pasuk. Now we can go on to the fourth bracha, and by now you can certainly guess what it is I'm going to say, because, and you'll be right? But let's just see how it pans out. So the fourth bracha was instituted, says the Gemara, because Haruge Beitar, that the Romans massacred enormous numbers of Jews, and the bodies were left strewn all over the fields, and for many years, and two nisim occurred. One nis was the bodies did not rot, and after about 7 years, or I forget exactly how many, permission was given from Roman government to bury them. And because of that, we instituted a bracha, the fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazon. So, the Meshech Chochma asks, it's very nice they gave us permission to bury our dead, but why is that the great, why is that such a great nace that now for all generations until Mashiach, everyone has to make a bracha, a fourth bracha in Birchas HaMazon, to commemorate the fact that the Romans allowed us to bury the dead? I mean, surely there must be other nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael in the course of history that would be more joyful, would have better, more positive overtones to commemorate. Right? Why do you need to commemorate it at all? It's a localized event that happened once. Why do you need to have this monument that every time a person benches, he has to... Yeah? And the Meshech Chochma adds on, he says, all the other three brachas of Birchas HaMazon are all related somehow or other to the establishment, the creation of Klal Yisrael. That first Moshe Rabbeinu brought them out of Mitzrayim. He created the thing called Knesset Yisrael. Then they went into Eretz Yisrael. That's the now you're in your homeland. Then they build Jerusalem. Now you've got a monarchy. Right? They're all madrigas in establishing the Jewish people. Why is this thematically connected to establishing a Jewish people? So the Meshech Chochma says, the point is that this massacre and this permission to be buried occurred at a time of tragedy, after the Chorban, after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. At that time, Klal Yisrael might have been completely Messiahish. They might have abandoned hope. They might have thought, Hashem has cast us out. In fact, that's what he did say. There were those who said that. They came to Yechezkel and Navi and they said, Hashem has divorced us. Hashem has abandoned us. Hashem has thrown us out. When a nace like this happens, that the bodies do not rot, and the Romans give permission, that proved that even in the deepest, darkest, abysmal exile, the worst possible happenstance, people are dead, right? You can't get worse than that, right? That is the ultimate wrath, okay? There's en masse slaughter. Even then, Hashem is with us. Hashem has not abandoned us. Even when it looks so dark and so devastating, Hashem is still supervising the Jewish people with providential care. That's why that became an important thing to commemorate through all generations. Everyone has to remember that. They established the fourth bracha. The Hashem is here with us even when it looks awful. That's exactly the same as the first three brachas now. You're seeing through the overlay of materialistic things, seeing through what your senses present to you to the immaterial cause behind, the divine hand. It looks terrible. You've got dead bodies here, but it can't be worse than that. See beyond that. See, understand something more than that. There's Hashem is here. Hashem is organizing. Hashem is helping. That's exactly the same underlying concept as the first three brachas of Birchas HaMazon, and that's why it appears here. Okay. After we've presented this, we had a short excursion into Birchas HaMazon. Now, hopefully, we're in a position to answer, Bezrat Hashem, the two questions we began with. I'll do the other way around, yeah? The second question was, why is it that a drunkard can bench l'chatchila, but he can't say Shemoneh Esrei Lechatchila. The answer works like this. When a person has eaten and drank his fill, naturally, he does not feel inclined to thank anybody or anything for anything. He does not feel indebted. He feels, I'm satiated, and now I'm the king of the world. I need the afsi ode. I don't have to say thank you to anybody or anything. It's just a natural human reaction. The Gemara says a lion roars when he's got meat in front of him. Yeah, when a human being's got a full stomach, yeah, he gets lazy. He gets ungrateful. He gets self-centered, self-absorbed. If at that point you're able to acknowledge that my satiety came from an immaterial source, that is a fantastic achievement. Because even because your goof is pulling you away from that acknowledgement. Your goof just says, now I've eaten and drank, and I want to lie down, I want to have a smoke, a cigar, I want to relax, leave me alone. That's the natural human inclination. The Yetzer Hara pulls you away from acknowledging the immaterial source of the plenty that you've just enjoyed. Patience. Yeah. We'll get there. I hope we'll get there. Okay. Oh, so that's a natural inclination. Right? So in that state, in order to bench, yeah, that's a fantastic achievement because you've had to overcome resistance, the resistance of your stomach. You've had to overcome. You had to acknowledge Hashem, despite the fact I feel full. Now, we said before that if you had an invitation to Buckingham Palace and you turned up there a bit tipsy, that would be the height of chutzpah. And that's true, it would be. But being able to see, being able to bench, despite the pull of the Yetzer Hara away, compensates, mitigates the chutzpah. Because it's such an achievement to be able to see through the coarse materialistic covering, such an achievement that we're willing to ignore for the chutzpah involved in benching when you're drunk, because the fact that you're benching at all is an acknowledgement of Hashem, which compensates and overrides the fact that you're drunk. Because you've had to fight against the natural pull of the body away from acknowledging Hashem. Whereas, when it comes to tefillah, yeah, shacharis, normally, you're not allowed to eat and drink before you daven Shemoneh Esrei. Before shacharis, you don't eat and drink usually. Right? So you haven't had the same resistance. Yeah, when you haven't got a full stomach, you get up in the morning and you realise you're going off to work. You realise, listen, I am dependent on the goodwill of a higher power, so I better put my heart and mind into it. You haven't got the same sort of resistance that a full stomach presents. In such a case, you better not be drunk, because there's no compensating factor, there's no mitigating factor. It's just chutzpah, and there's nothing to mitigate the chutzpah in that situation. That's why for davening, lechatchila, you have to get sober up before you daven, but for benching, you don't even have to sober up lechatchila, because the fact that you're acknowledging against the pull of your own gashmias nature itself is a mitigating factor. And now we can go back to the first question. We said that Shimon HaMsuni darshaned all the S's in the Torah. What does V'achalta V'savarta V'rachta S Hashem Elokecha come to include? It comes to include yourself. You've made yourself blessed because you've managed to see through the coarse materialistic sense around 3D that this world presents. You've been able to see through, be able to acknowledge and recognize that the source of my abundance, of my plenty, everything I have, is the immaterial cause of the world. You have become blessed. You've become Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. You've acknowledged free will, acknowledgement of Hashem as the source of everything you have. You've made yourself blessed. And that's why the benching ends off. Our minhag is to end off with the pasuk Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. That's part of the minhag, because through benching you've achieved that. You make yourself into a blessed person. Right, now, okay, so is that the end? I mean, I've got more to say, but I'll stop now. Was that it? Thank you, okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Good day.
Slade, of course, Slade.